Tonight we will go back to Luke chapter 12, because Luke chapter 12 was a powerful passage and it had much in it to lift us up and take us where we need to go. And we got a chance to see last week in going through that passage that the way that a person sees Jesus, that's what they end up getting. If they don't see Jesus as being the Son of God, the one that died, and the one that's going to judge the quick and the dead is appearing in kingdom, and they just see him as Michael, the archangel, or if they see him as the spirit brother of Lucifer, or just the prophet, as some religious do, that's all they're going to get from him insofar as what they're going to look for. Now, he's going to still be who he is, and he's going to still execute his judgment, because that's his nature, and the Bible says he cannot deny himself. But as we were looking last week, we came up with a couple of things that I want to reiterate. But I want to go ahead and give us our title for tonight. Now, we're going to be dealing with the 49th verse to the 59th verse. 10 little verses in Luke chapter 12, 49 through 59. And remember, this is to Theophilus. Just don't ever forget that. And here's the thing that I believe that Luke was allowing Theophilus to see, yet Jesus was showing it to his disciples. What he was showing them is there is a fire. But what kind of fire you abide will determine your destiny. It will determine your worth. Now, if you remember when we were going last week, we talked about a master, when he came back, well, he finds somebody that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he comes back and finds that servant not doing what he needs to be doing, doing and being drunk, being ungodly, mistreating the people. He's going to be judged. But the one that does what he's supposed to and sees God the right way, he'll put him over his possession. The word of God teaches a servant that knew to do his master's will and didn't. This individual is going to get a judgment that's upon himself that's worthy of the wickedness and the audacity that he showed. But even the one that didn't know, didn't see him as he was, he's still going to be judged and going to get his act. A-C-T, he's going to get his act judged for what it was, how it came across. Well, Jesus, after he said that, at least from the way Luke is giving it to us, made an enigmatic statement, a statement that was odd, that someone was, why would Jesus make a statement like this? And Andrina, if you will, read it. Verse 49.
I came to catch fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled.
Jesus said, I came to throw fire on the earth, and I wish it was already kindled. Those that know anything about the Bible, when God cast fire to the earth, was it ever something pleasurable that you can think of? And can we call the people of Sodom and Gomorrah to the witness stand? Can we call the children of Israel to the witness stand whenever they start seeing the fire and the smoke and they tremble and were scared to touch the mountain? Can we ask, as Andrina just said, Nadab and Abihu, can we call them to the witness stand? I submit to you that he said, I would come to cast fire. I wish it was already kindled. Those that are familiar with the word of God in the scripture, I'm going to change my tone for a minute, because I'm already wound up. Those that are familiar with the scripture, they know explicitly that God always brought judgment to the children of Israel because of their idolatry and the way that they worship other gods. And Jerusalem was burned. So when he said, I wish it was already kindled, that fire is a type of judgment. And I wish the judgment was already there. That was the problem that I had with the children of Israel, is that they would leave justice laying prostrate in the street. If justice was already being done, if judgment was already being put out by the people, it would be a beautiful and a wonderful, wonderful thing. But obviously, we see that it was not. Let Jesus talk some more, verse 50.
I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how great is my distress until it is accomplished.
Jesus says, in fulfilling my role, I have an immersion. I have a sinking in and up under. I got a baptism to be baptized with. And how great am I being squeezed? How great is my distress? How great is my anguish until it be accomplished? Fire, in this sense, is the very thing I got to go through until I get to the place where I can be what God would have me, the Father would have me to be, the totality of the sacrifice that has to be there for the sins of men. He asked John one time, can you drink the cup that I drink?
Oh.
John, yeah, I drink it. Yeah, you'll drink it all right. But to sit on my right hand or left is not mine to give. I got a baptism to be baptized with. A baptism of fire. A baptism that's going to show the world who I am. A baptism that's going to take the judgment of the world on me and going to vindicate the righteousness of God to the people. The baptism is going to show that there is one that will hold out to the end. I got a baptism of fire, and I submit to you, Theophilus. There's a fire for you. There's a fire for you. What kind will you abide? Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happen. If you're going to be purified by God, if you're going to be shown to be of value and worth, the dross has to be burned off. Read some more of the sweeted word of the living God.
Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No,
so
I
what?
Tell you. No.
Read.
I tell you, but rather division.
I submit to you that I came to this earth to bring fire. I came to this earth to bring judgment. I didn't come to bring peace, as you all know it. I didn't come here to make people like one another, as you think. I came to bring division. I came to bring separation. Fire separates that is from that which is not. You take that silver and you put it in the gold, in the fire, and it separates that which is. You take some things that's in the fire, even the Bible talks about in the days of judgment, when the judgment seat of Christ, the fire will show you that which is and which not. The wood, the hay, and the stubble works will be burned up. But the gold, the silver, it will stay. I did not come to bring peace. What I did is I came to bring division. Tell me if that's not what the fire does. The fire will separate the bad gold from the good gold. Well, let's use Jesus' word, reprobate. Mm-hmm. It separates the good from the reprobate. I came to make a difference. This gospel that I'm giving is so hot that for an individual to line up with it, it will cause them to be too much heat in somebody else's life. And if they don't want it, they will separate. Is that what you want? Mm. If that's what you want, I came to bring it. I'm not going to say I came to bring the pain. But I came to bring the fire, the separation. Why is that? Because you've gotten so far away from God. Judgment is gone. People are not obeying God's will, and you all still feel that you are at ease in Zion. You still think your sacrifices matter. You still think that your Passover is the Father's Passover. The things that you all have done are so wrong that if I allow things to go like they are, it'll be the Jeremiah's Day kind of peace, and I did not come to bring that. I did not. I came to bring a separation or a division so that those that are walking with God can walk purified, they can walk godly, and can be the kind of person that God wants to be. But are you willing to go through the fire to do so? Or will you give up and turn back and not be fit for the kingdom? Read, please, Andrina.
For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3.
Read on.
They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother.
Those that have never experienced any of this, you don't understand this fire. You don't understand the burning that it caused whenever you walk in the separation that he brings through the fire, and you have to separate from your friends, when you have to separate from your family because they have nothing that they want to deal with you, or you can't deal with them because of the fact, I have decided to walk in the light of the glory. I have decided to be refined by the Lord Jesus Christ. I decided to let the fullest fire of the Lord come and cleanse me, shape me, and mold me, and my friends and my family, they want me to have peace with them, but they will keep me from going through the fire. They will pacify me. They will pat me on the back. They will say I'm okay when I'm not. But the word of God has shown me that the fire is necessary for me to go through so that God can have somebody that's tried and tempered and tough. Blessings everlasting name forevermore, I say. Please read.
Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Please read.
He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming.
Did you see where he went? Did you see what he's saying here? When you see a cloud writing its script across the sky, you read it. And you verbalize it out loud and you say, what?
A shower is coming.
A shower is coming because I read across the sky. I read the tea leaves, so to speak. And Jesus says,
and so it happens.
And you're right. You're so wise to know and understand. Read on.
And when you see the south wind blowing, you say.
And when you see the south wind blowing, you don't really see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind, and we know that Jesus knows that because he told Nicodemus you can't see the wind in John 3. But you see the effect of the wind coming from the south, and you say, what?
There will be scorching heat. And it happens.
And you read it, and you say there'll be scorching heat, and it happens. You are really wise to understand natural things. You are really wise enough to know when it's going to be rain or when the heat of the sun is going to come down and scorch, just like a fire will scorch your beans if you leave them on the stove too long in the wrong vessel. But read what he says.
You hypocrite.
You hypocrites. Read.
You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?
I submit to you that those of you that have gone through the fire or that will go through the fire, you will not be like the unwise. Those that are unwise, they don't go through the fire. They are wise on the things of this earth. They can look at something as magnificent as the sky and know what's going to happen, but they cannot understand the signs of the time, because if you don't go through the fire, if you're not experiencing the fire, if you're not taking the judgment of God and the separation of God, he can't teach you what you need to know. You won't go through the fire. You won't learn. You won't take his judgment. You won't take your separation. You love your family more than the Lord God, who is blessed forever. Amen. And you want to know why you have no insights into what's going on. And Jesus said, those people are hypocrites. And I submit to you that the fire separates the true from the hypocrite. It separates the wise from the unwise. The fire is not only something that tests you, but it's something that helps you separate so you can see, you can be closer to God. It helps you to be able to go through your tests so you can let God teach you what you need to know. It gives you judgment and discernment. It tempers you to make you strong. But you're not going to be strong. You're not going to be doing the things of God without some wisdom, and it must be a wisdom that does not come from earthly, sensual, and devilish things that you just see with your natural eye. It must come from above, first pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. Full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy or partiality. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right?
Mm-hmm.
As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way.
I submit to you that an individual that has submitted himself to what Jesus brought. He said, I came to bring division. He said, I got a baptism to be baptized with. Now, if we don't go through this passage right here and see where he is there before, that we got a cross to take. The cross was the fire. The cross was the baptism. If we don't go through, we're going to realize that we are not prudent. The fire helps an individual to be prudent instead of foolish. He says, agree with your accuser before the magistrate, before the magisterium. Read on.
Make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison.
Last verse.
I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny.
I submit to you that there's a wisdom that comes. There's a true wisdom that comes from being separated. There's a true wisdom that comes from going through the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to his judgment and being separated from others so they can teach you. What is that, Tim? What does that have to do with agreeing with your accuser? What does that have to do with you never getting out? Let me break it down to you. When an individual is following God his way, going through it his way, letting him refine him his way, when they're mistreated, this individual learns how to take these things that God is letting them go through so that they don't have to go through the punishment worse than they should. But, what else is he saying? You have an accuser now.
Mm-hmm.
The devil. And there's a time that you're going to be judged. And he's going to accuse you before the beast, going to accuse you before the Lord. Now, what you got to deal with here is that you got to make your mind set up that it's not just the devil that can accuse you. It's God if you're not right. You better agree with him now. You better agree with him while you got the chance before he takes you to the place where you can never get out. Because if he'll hand you to the angels and they separate and they throw you into that fire, what do you mean, Tim? Why do you get that? Why do you bring that? I don't get that interpretation. What did we talk about before? The one that knew his master's will and didn't do it. The one that did know his master's will and did do it. The one that didn't know it and did do it. It was talking about the eternal judgment. Jesus broke it down. You can discern the face of the sky, but you haven't been refined enough. You haven't listened to my judgment enough. You haven't separated from your traditions enough to really see who I am right here, right now, in your face, the living Son of God, the fulfillment of prophecy. You have chosen the fire you want to go through. What do you mean the fire they want to go through, Tim? There was a certain amount of anguish that they had in their own rules, in their own regulations. They had a certain code that they have to keep. And certain ways that they would treat each other and ostracize each other. I submit to you that everybody goes through something to live up to whatever standard that they want to be called a part of. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, they can shun you. If you're a certain kind of organization, they can put you out. But I submit to you that the individual that makes his mind up that I'll go through what the Lord has me to go through, that individual becomes wise. That individual that's not a reprobate can see. And the Lord orders his steps. Guide me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Through the fire? Are you willing to go? Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial just to try you. As though some strange thing has happened unto you. Why would God do that? I'm trying to make you. I want to make you. I want to have you to be the kind of person that can be a benefit. Tim, read that last little passage that you keep quoting, and then let's call that this for the night. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to get back to about the 7th verse. I want us to taste this thing. I believe that an individual, if they look at this passage and they apply it to their lives and say, you know what? I really hadn't thought about it, but Peter called it the fire for a reason. So let me read in verse 6. Then I go to 7. That's 1 Peter 1 and 6. And just rejoice. Though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the testedness of your genuineness of your faith, you all let me go to King James Version. because I'm wanting to quote it at the same time I'm reading it, and it's actually messing up in my mouth. Now, sometimes I can read it, but it's like I've known this scripture so many years that I say, okay, just go back and just read it in the version that you used to. So that's what I'm going to do this time. If you bear with me, I change versions on you. Verse number 7 says, I'm going to start at 6 again, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trying of the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom have you not seen you loving? Though ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of the souls, of which the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but unto us did they minister these things which are now reported. What are you saying, Tim? There's a trial to try you if you will go through the fire. If you'll go to the limit you can get is the salvation of your souls. I understand people say we say never, there's an end of a salvation that we want. And the prophets prophesied of it, but they could discern the face of the sky. They were not willing to go through the judgment. They were not willing to go through the test that they wanted to fight against him. You're not doing it his way, the way that we want it done. So therefore, we don't want to hear him. We don't care what the prophets say, but the prophets had told you enough that if you can read the face of the sky, you should have been able to read what was going on right there with him. You should have been able to do it. But because of that, you have another fire you'll endure. The fire of judgment. You wouldn't enjoy the fire of testing, separation, wisdom, to build you up so that you could be a praise and an honor, and it will cost you. And he said they ministered to those things which are now reported unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It said this thing was so great the angels desired to look into it. Yet those people, they didn't want to look into it. What they want to do, they want to castigate Jesus. They want to say that he was Beelzebub. They want to say he was the prince of devils. Why? Because Jesus said, I came not to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And I did it. I brought a baptism. I'll go through it. But if you don't go through the baptism, you don't get that. No cross. No crown, no fire, no purification, no separation from those that need to be separated from, no separation from your own way of doing things and going through the traditions of this world instead of the word of God, no crown, no glory. That was a heck of a lesson for Theophilus to see, but even more so for those disciples. It hurts sometimes when we're separated. It hurts when God starts making it where it's just... And I'm going to use the figurative term, but I'm going to speak of it in a literal way. It hurts sometimes when you see that God has caused you to have so much fire that some that you love or you'd want to be around, it's just too hot for them to be around you. But those that love God and want to do right, they'll endure the fire when they're wrong because they want the dross burnt off. But others, I'm fine just like I am. But there's a fire they'll endure. You will endure fire. You'll endure the fire of God's word, and you'll be straight, you'll be cleansed, you'll be purified, or you'll endure the fire of this world, its problems, man's standard, and then you'll endure the fire of eternal judgment because you refuse to be molded, shaped, and to be put in the position that you could be one of glory and honor because you say, I'm not going through it. Not me. Not me. Not me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. As I've said when I prayed before to you, Father, it's hard, but it's doable because you make it doable. Would to God that we could do like they said, whoever wrote that song, they were willing to go through the fire for some person in a love song. Mm-hmm. But are we willing to go through the fire for you? Are we really willing to go to the limit? Mm-hmm. Are we really willing to go to the wall? Or just till we get a blessing? Are we willing to just do it just to have a chance to be with you that we would risk it all? Father, mother, sister, brother, this world's wisdom, the opportunity that we could have, the joy that we could get from going through and doing people's tradition instead of going through what you want. Are we willing to go with you? If we're not, Lord, reveal it to us and smite our wretched hearts till we're willing to do what's necessary to be with you. I said in the blessing name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.
Amen.